Say the name Margaret Trudeau, and half the room will say, isn't that the mother of the charismatic young Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau? The other half will say, isn't that the wildly fascinating, much younger wife of the former Canadian Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau? And both would be right. Margaret was just 22 and an anti-war flower child when she married the debonair 51-year-old Trudeau. They had three children, Justin, Sasha, and Michelle. But soon it was Margaret taking the headlines, globetrotting and more with the Rolling Stones, dancing at Studio 54 with Truman Capote, who, she told us, she'd help home when drugs and alcohol brought him down on the dance floor like a beached whale. There were rumors, later confirmed, of affairs with Ted Kennedy, Ryan O'Neill. The Trudeaus divorced, Margaret remarried, had two more children, but something was terribly wrong. Her children did an intervention. She was committed to a psychiatric facility for a bit, then in quick succession lost her son Michel to an avalanche in 1998, divorced her second husband in 1999, and was at Pierre's bedside when he died in 2000. And in 2006, Margaret Trudeau announced she'd been diagnosed as having bipolar disorder. She's now an advocate for the mentally ill. Last year during the U.S. election, she caught flack for saying one of the American candidates, the unnamed Donald Trump, might be among the mentally ill. And Margaret Trudeau joins us in the studio. Welcome. What a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you, Robin. Yeah. Thank you.
And so how would you characterize what happened?
When I was having my second son, I woke up about, within a month of his birth, and I had no more interest in my life. Mm. Robin, I had a beautiful life. I had a gorgeous two-year-old. I was pampered. I loved my husband. He adored me. And I was just from a very provincial North Vancouver in British Columbia. So I wasn't sophisticated at all.
You were also a flower child.
But I was a hippie. I had a big, huge heart. Pierre and I didn't know what was wrong with me. I couldn't even make a decision as to what to wear, so I would cancel all my engagements. I didn't find any of the delight in being with my little two-year-old.
This was
I just wanted to crawl back into my bed.
And you went to see a doctor who did what many doctors did, patted you on the head.
And it's a baby blues.
You have the baby blues.
And Pierre paid more attention to Margaret, as if he somehow could fix me out of the beginning of a real illness. And it was my first clinical depression. I got better. My husband asked me to join him on the campaign trail. And I weaned my baby in one day because it was no place for him, because on the plains they still allowed smoking. So I left him. And that in itself was such a hormonal fluctuation. A lot of our bipolar episodes are triggered by fluctuations in hormones.
So we understand now it was postpartum depression.
Yes.
But I'm wondering too, how much of it was also you could be allowed to
I was very, one of the things, you've just absolutely hit the nail on the head, because it is never just one thing. I was becoming a very angry woman.
Yeah.
I felt used and not useful. As a wife of the prime minister, as opposed to your first lady in America, there is no position, there is no office, no assistant. I'm just supposed to be, as I said, a rose in my husband's lapel. But I really was fighting since I was a little girl for the right to be equal. My mother raised her five daughters that way.
And there was no outlet.
And then
for
I found myself in this very old-fashioned marriage with the press using me as political fodder. And I was angry. It wasn't controlled and rational because of the bipolar and the mania that was coming in after the first depression. As night follows day, after your first depression, you will climb up into mania, which is exactly what I did, not even understanding what mania was.
Yeah. Was it dancing at Studio
54? Dancing at Studio 54, running off with the Rolling Stones, just doing anything I could, but not understanding that what I was not accessing because of my illness was reason. And I'm very resistant to anyone telling me that I was sick because I thought I was enlightened.
Well, not only that, your mother, who you've just paid tribute to, didn't want to hear.
She told me, don't see a psychiatrist. They only blame the mother, is what she said to me. And what's to blame is not getting treatment.
Well, then comes the just terrible blow. It's unspeakable.
Aww.
A son.
An avalanche pushed him into an unfrozen glacial lake and he drowned. And I wanted to die. I couldn't breathe. I abused BC Bud marijuana. I had lovely bottles of scotch for later in the day, just wallowing in my grief and not wanting anybody near me, which is the opposite of what you should do. I pushed myself into psychosis. I didn't know why I would dress, why I'd brush my teeth, why I'd comb my hair. And I stopped eating and drinking after my husband died, Pierre Trudeau. And so by the time I got into the hospital, I was pretty much almost dead.
Yeah. This is all. The world watched you go through all of this. You didn't just have to.
I did it publicly.
You had to do it publicly.
And the shame that I felt. Bipolar is the mental disorder that has the highest suicide rate. And of course, that's why I do all the work that I do, is to try and stop the deaths. The mental illness becomes a terminal illness. But more than that, what I felt happened to me was I was really tired of letting everyone down.
You talk about letting the family down, but in your case, maybe letting the country
the
down.
The whole country down. I felt such shame and I was tired. The other thing, the mania takes so much of your energy. We get addicted to it. We want to be manic. We're enlightened. Compare that to depression that we've experienced where we have no excitement or interest in our life. Part of recovery is to be so strong and say, I am never being manic again. And I'm going to really learn how to say no to go off dancing and drinking vodka late into the night because it doesn't serve anyone well.
Yeah, there was a family intervention.
Yes,
Justin and your other children. The psychiatrist describes in one of your books what they found. You know, you were walking over these
I'd taken an old pine dresser, pulled out the drawers, filled them with sand, put in candles, and then collected a whole bunch of cedar boughs. Cedar is very important in Aboriginal faith. And I had all mixed up in my mind. In order to be committed without your agreement, you have to be a danger to yourself and to others. I was clearly both. Mm. We were going up in fire.
So, question, Margaret Trudeau. How much do you think your son's character was almost positively shaped by what he saw you go through?
Without any question, because one of the things that Justin is, but as his father was too, his father was an extraordinarily disciplined man. And Justin and I are two peas in a pod in so many ways. His compassion was huge for me, and his heartbreak at losing me into this mad woman.
Well, he'd already lost his brother.
We'd lost Meishi, we'd lost Pierre, and then he had to face losing me. But I was not honest, even with Justin. He would call from Vancouver, and that's what we do when we're mentally ill and we're so frightened, is we try and reassure others that we're just fine. And I'd say, oh, well, I can't talk now. Cookies in the oven, bridge club coming. Oh, good, Mommy, you're getting back into life. All lies.
What would you say now to people who may be self-identifying right now?
Do you know, no matter how good a family you have, how intelligent you are, how educated you are,
what country you're running,
what kind, it doesn't matter. Your family can't fix you. What you really need is a third party, a dispassionate person. It doesn't have to be a psychiatrist. It can be a psychologist. It can be a guidance counselor. It can be a teacher. It can be a pastor. It can be somebody who will dispassionately listen to you and you will be totally honest with, which you won't be with your family, by the way. But the other thing is that then you try and blame everybody. The two things that go along with mental illness I've discovered. First of all, denial. There is absolutely nothing wrong with me. If you think there's something wrong with me, there's something wrong with you. I would say that constantly. And then blaming everyone else for all the mistakes you're making. So if you can stop both the denial and the blame, there's only one person who can help you. And that is yourself. You have to find the courage to say, I want to have a better life. And then you reach out for help. You don't know how many people are out there just longing to help you.
Margaret Trudeau, you've got all of us thinking about, again, these pictures we saw, these stories we read about in People magazine, this life. As you look back on it, Ted Kennedy, Ryan O'Neill, the Rolling Stones.
Dear me.
Yeah. Do you have regrets?
I love them all.
You love them all.
But without what happens in mental illness is that you lose your good judgment, and you, because mental illness by its very definition is wrong thinking. I have to say, like Edith Piaf, je ne regrette rien. I don't regret anything because it brought me here. And I had to face it was the death of my son that woke me up. Now I have 8 grandchildren. I have a wonderful life. I have purpose every day.
And you have a son who's prime minister.
Well, I do that too. That's kind of a burden, to tell you the truth.
Well, I'm wondering if you are once again in the position of being the woman that a prime minister is kind of hoping will maybe tone it down just a little bit.
No. I remember I did a terrible thing before your election. One of the candidates was clearly denying any wrongdoing and quite a big issue. I didn't think that it would matter that I would diagnose a candidate in the States as wrong thinking. I didn't want to hurt Justin in any way. And he just said, Mommy, you are a free person.
Well, it's been a long time since you were related to another prime minister. And thankfully, I gathering today, nobody would tell Margaret Trudeau to be quiet. Margaret Trudeau, what a pleasure to speak
Robin.
With you.
Thank you.
And she is still beloved in Canada for her work with the mentally ill. She was here supporting the Massachusetts group, the Shine Initiative, that works to raise awareness. It's here now.